Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Back at it here on Fesco and Dusty, 8 o'clock. Nate Taylor will join us in about 25 minutes. We'll ask him his opinion on New Orleans food. I do think Creole food is the most underrated food there is. Southern Comfort's up there, Italian, Mexican, Asian food, all that sort of stuff. Not a lot of people throw in the old Creole.
I mean, when you get down there and start eating, you'll come back and go buy all the stuff and want to make it at home. That's how good
I'll tell you this.
Is.
I will not eat crawfish.
Oh, yeah, you will.
No, I won't.
Why? You eat oysters.
You didn't eat... No, I will eat oysters. I just, there's something about sucking the brain out. I'm not doing it.
Well, all right.
Don't all you right. dare drop that. And it's a mud bug.
It is.
Like, I went to Arkansas and they did a crawfish boil. And I was like, eh, I like the corn and potatoes and sausage. Mm-hmm.
Like the crawfish, if they're out of the shell, I think. I'd never sucked a crawfish or anything.
That's
like
how
that.
You're supposed to do it. Yeah, you're supposed to suck the head. They say.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I'm out on that.
Exactly. But you'll like, see if you just don't.
But if there's crawfish meat, like lobster, crab, you know, that kind of stuff. If it's in the crawfish gumbo or something, big chunks of crawfish, that's fine. But I'm not, you know, doing all that kind of crap.
Somebody says, being from Louisiana and hearing the question of what's the difference between gumbo and jambalaya almost made me stroke out. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between a ribeye and a strip? Oh my God.
Damn it. Yeah. The odds are out for the celebrity that's going to appear the most on TV in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think is the highest odds, the best
Bradley
odds?
Cooper.
You're absolutely right about that. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Sober Bradley Cooper, by the way.
Yep, because they excluded Taylor Swift in this.
Okay. She's now in the Mahomes category of
yes.
Start one quarterback.
That's exactly
below.
Right. Yeah. That's where we are, right?
That's
all
fine.
Right. Everything in the NFL has to be, with the exception of Patrick Mahomes, right?
Have you ever seen Silver Linings Playbook? Great movie.
Yes, with
Bradley Cooper and our girl, Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes. It's a great one.
Mm. Jennifer Lawrence.
Number two.
On my list? No, it's Paige Sperenik.
Nope. Paul.
Oh.
Paul Rudd.
Oh, I thought we were talking about our Paul Rudd, really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
I could see that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Hart comes in at number three.
Big Philly fan.
Okay,
Rob
yeah.
McElhenney comes in at number four. Sudeikis, five. Sylvester Stallone comes in.
He'll be there for sure. Rocky,
I would
obviously.
Hope. And by the way, I'm just going to send out a word of advice here.
Don't attack the statue.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, did you see what Washington
yes.
did? Like,
everybody
people who
tries
attack
that.
The Rocky statue are stupid. Like, don't go out there and try to put Chiefs gear on the Rocky statue in Philadelphia or anything mm-hmm. like that. Let that be. Let that lie. Then Tina Fey, Sheryl Crow. Miranda Lambert, Ryan Felipe, Tara Reid, and
Tara Reid.
I hope she's there. Oh, she was my love for years, and then weird things happened. But then Bernard Hopkins on that list.
Stone Street. He'll be there.
Not even on the list.
So he's like plus 2,000. He's like Andy Reid getting coach of the year. Yeah. So somebody says it's based off screen time. If so, Kendrick Lamar will take the cake. No, just like
no, this
most
one is based on to have the well, it is. Yeah, it says the odds for the celebrity to have the most screen time during the game. Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, halftime show. They can't count that.
It's no, they're like not counting halftime. Not counting halftime and not counting Taylor Swift.
Yeah. For whatever reason.
But that's what it says. It says without Taylor Swift and excluding the halftime show.
Hmm. Somebody says the Eagles fans are the ones planting the jerseys and pretending it's the other team to get that game motivation. A lot of people are saying that.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. I saw a clip yesterday that said this is why people will root for the Chiefs over Philadelphia, because there were Washington Commander fans leaving Philadelphia Stadium just getting absolutely just bombarded with rude-ass people.
Can we talk about the Philly fans for a second?
Yeah, like, they suck.
Like, they really do suck, man. Like, and I was listening to some of the stuff yesterday. Like, there were 33 drunken disorderly citations, a stabbing, gunshots, people falling off poles, a death in Philly. Like,
yeah, that guy recently just passed away.
Yeah, the cuteness of the Philadelphia fan and the embrace of being jerks, it's not funny anymore, man. Like that video that you showed, like, I want to take my kid to a game or something. Like, I can't go to a game in Philadelphia if I'm, you know, rooting for the other team. Like, that's not the way it should be. And I know, look, I know that things happen at all these stadiums, but this happens in Philadelphia more so than not. I mean, when the city of New Orleans has to say, our light poles are old, please don't climb them, and all this kind of stuff, like, I'm just over the Philadelphia fan, quite honestly. Like, grow up. Stop acting that way. It's not funny.
Was it the Philly fan that called the lady the C word and got kicked out for life?
Yes.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago.
Obviously he was baited, but like he still said that word to that woman.
Right.
So
you still acted that way.
If someone baited you, you wouldn't do that.
You just walk away. Yeah. And I understand, you know, booze gets involved. There's all the excuses you can make in the world, but I'm over it. It's time for Philadelphia fans to stop acting the fool, guys. I mean, like, really, it hurts the NFL. It hurts the people who aren't acting the fool, because the narrative for 45, 50 years now has been the behavior of the fans, from the booing of Santa Claus to booing Michael Irvin when he was down cold, out cold on the field, and they're cheering or booing, however you want to say it, and then this last incident. But every time there's something in Philadelphia, the fans act the fool. Like, I know we've had our share of things here in Kansas City that have happened, but nothing like what these fans do and how these fans behave. And I'm just over it. Like, I've gotten to that point where I'm just like, I'm just disgusted by it. It's gross. I mean, you listen to people talk about, like, Tiki Barber was talking about going to Philadelphia as a Giant fan. And like, he goes, I won't do that. That man played in the NFL, and he won't go into that stadium. Like, it's really just to the point now where it's not funny. It's not cute. It's not unique. It's not awesome. It's not, it really is. It's stupid and it's foolish and it gives everybody else a bad name. So Philadelphia fans, knock it off, man. Act human.
Somebody says, if you need any sort of advice for where to get food, just ask Zion Williamson.
You get the day, man. That's great.
Seriously.
You take the week off.
Do you think you could ever like Nick Sirianni?
I do. The more I hear from him now, the more I understand why it works in Philadelphia. I do.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
You know, again, I didn't ever coach for Andy. So,
sure.
You know, maybe I hear, I've gotten a text message from here and there after a win. I've given him a text message here and there after a win. But, you know, I didn't coach for him. He didn't, you know, we don't have that history. I know he was here. And so, you know, you don't tend to share information or anything like that with guys that, you know, you don't know as well. So, I have my other mentors that I reach out to. And, but man, looking at watching Coach Reid, and, you know, I got a lot of respect for everything that he's done. Obviously he's one of the best, you know, I would say him and Bill Belichick, best, you know, coaches of all time, ever, as I look at it, as I study it. So, a lot of respect there. You know, I'd love to be able to talk to him about stuff, but, you know, this is the second time we're competing for a world championship. I don't know if either of us are willing to give any information.
Yeah, that's cute, but I'm going to call cap on him trying to come around as this nice guy. I still remember what he did to the crowd.
Yeah, I
see how he acts on the sidelines. They don't even let him talk to his players.
Yeah, but I understand why it works, though. I mean, he understands what he doesn't know. And
he's got a really good roster.
I think he stays away from it, I think. You know, I think for a lot of people in life, they try to do things they're not capable of doing, and they get in the way, and it becomes a mess, and they think they're the smartest guy in the room. I think Nick Sirianni has realized where he is, where his ceiling is, and he's hired a great defensive coordinator in Vic Fangio. And I think that, you know, as more people talk about the Vic Fangio effect, Patrick Mahomes, I think, is undefeated against Vic Fangio. But I think as we talk about that, like, that was an interesting hire, because a guy like Nick Sirianni, who's always fighting for his job, doesn't normally go out and hire somebody that could legitimately take his job, you know, that has more street cred and a better resume than him in the NFL. And that was Vic Fangio. And he went out and hired Vic Fangio and basically took down the Todd Haley, because that was one of his mentors, smartest guy in the room mentality, and went out and hired somebody that truly is maybe better at coaching and doing things than he is. And he surrounded himself with good people. And I think that's a big growth move for Nick Sirianni. And I do think he probably understands now, hey, man, I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to give everybody else credit. I'm just going to get out of the way in all of this, because I don't know how much he adds to it, but I do know that he's hired the right people around him, like the Kellen Moore hire, obviously a head coach in waiting, could have been the head coach in waiting in Philadelphia. I'm sure they discussed that 1,000 times. And then Vic Fangio, who's been a head coach and been around the league, he surrounded himself with some pretty good offensive and defensive coordinators.
Yeah, somebody says that Sirianni reminds them of Todd Haley.
He was Todd Haley's guy here in Kansas. He used to carry Todd Haley's bag.
Mm. And he's still a bag. I think his antics and who he is, he'd have to completely change. Like, I mean, completely show like multiple signs of the fact that, which maybe he's the perfect Philly coach, right? Controversial, kind of a loudmouth, you know, I don't really know what his job is still, like management of roster, like doesn't really call plays, doesn't really like do situational stuff. So it's cute that he said he's going to gimmick or change some things in his playbook that he did 2 years ago in the Super Bowl. But again, these are two different teams, which is obvious. Like, Saquon Barkley is going to be the running back. He wasn't the running back 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's a huge difference. And he's relying on Saquon Barkley, too. He's not trying to force Jalen Hurts to go win you games, which I think is, you know, in the NFL today, we all want our quarterbacks to go out there and win us games. Well, you have a decent enough quarterback in Jalen Hurts, but my God, you got Saquon Barkley, who's having one of the great years we've seen in the NFL by a running back. Rely on Saquon Barkley. And they're doing that. And I think, you know, when you look at leaders, you know, and whatnot over the course of time, not just in football, but in life in general, one of their greatest assets is empowering others. And I really do think Nick Sirianni is, and I don't want to compare him to Dick Vermeil, because Vermeil didn't call plays, but surrounded himself with good coaches and let, you know, Al Saunders call the offense and, you know, whoever else, Gunther Cunningham at one point called the defense here in Kansas City.
Like,
you surround yourself with good coaches. You allow them to do their jobs. You give them all the credit in the world when things go right, and you take all the blame when things go wrong. I mean, Andy Reid does a lot of that. Obviously, Andy calls all the plays on offense. We know all that. But I think Nick Sirianni has kind of figured out how to be a leader, and it's sometimes it's just say less, stay out of the way, and let your people do their job and say, I'll be here to support you when you need me. Come ask me if I can do anything, but I got full trust in you. A lot of young coaches aren't able to do that. That's why they fail. I think Nick Sirianni has kind of moved forward in that just based on who he has surrounding him and lets them do their job. Like, I didn't think Nick Sirianni was going to be anything when he got hired in Philadelphia, and he's taken his team to the Super Bowl 2 times. I mean, you're not doing something wrong if you're doing something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of his, and I hope they beat him just because of that. Big game coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Community America Credit Union, member-owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. Let's get honest on the other side about something that we were wrong about. Got to do it. Self-deprecating can be healthy. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Fesco, Mac, and Dusty.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
When sports takes go wrong is what we're about to dive into. Somebody from the 620 just catching the reply all segment while receiving one from our reply all guy here at work, Dustin in Derby, Kansas. Oh, man. See, we're not the only ones.
No, everybody has, but nobody likes that.
It's coming, though. We're getting ready to have another one because we just got Sweetheart Joe our lady downstairs said happy anniversary to the following. Reply all. Congrats.
You think it's going to still happen, though?
Did you not see the proof in all your 5,465 emails?
I'm down to 3,163.
Yeah, well, you got about 5 hours ago. You should be doing that on your flight. You'll land in no time.
If you missed that segment, we got a podcast. It also go to our Twitter page. You can watch the clip. It's pretty funny.
The big boss is going to be outside the door when we get out of here.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, boy. When hot takes go wrong, Nate Taylor in about 6 minutes here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Good to have you here on a, well, gloomy but warm Thursday morning.
You think all the snow will be gone before we leave on Sunday?
Yes, because we're supposed to get a lot of rain tonight and tomorrow, so I think it's going to be, you know.
Even those big mounds and, like, parking lots and things like that that are, like, as high as the eye can see, you know?
Maybe.
I got money on it last until Valentine's Day, so.
Well, you got money on Andy Reid being coach of the year, and that ain't happening.
You know what, though? He's a finalist. That's cool. In and of itself is fantastic,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, awards going to the guy in Minnesota.
How could it? I know it's a regular season award.
Minnesota, not Detroit.
You get all that.
Okay.
It'll be Kevin O'Connell.
I understand. And
what are the odds right now? Do you know those?
I don't know, but I remember you saying it was going to go
to the winner of that game.
The winner of that game.
Right.
And it was Detroit.
What if Andy Reid does get this thing, though, man? Like that would be just the fitting thing to do for people to say, you know what? 15-1, man. Like,
well, they announced it before the Super Bowl.
They announced it, I think, Thursday or Friday before the Super Bowl, right?
Dinner's on you if they win.
I mean, let's go, man. Let's go.
So I guess a take that I got wrong throughout this Chiefs season, that's what we're going to do here before Nate Taylor joins us here. I said when we do our Chiefs take, we do it every week on Instagram. Kramer's a sweetheart for helping us out with that. I said that I think that Travis Kelce is officially passing the torch to Noah Gray. I said that after the Buffalo game in week 11 when he had 2 touchdowns, Noah Gray did. Well, since week 13, Noah Gray's had 12 catches for 135 yards and a touchdown. And 3 of those 12 catches came against Houston. He did not have 1 against Buffalo.
No.
I think I was really wrong about that. I think that Travis Kelce has yet to patch that torch, which makes me somehow believe, I don't know how I'm doing this to myself, that even if they do win a Super Bowl, that he will come back for one more year.
Yeah, that was the conversation yesterday at the J with a bunch of the guys. And it's like everybody's asking, you know, the same questions, and because everybody wants to know the answers. Like, is Travis going to come back? And I said, boy, like some people are so defiant they think they know all the time. No, we don't know. None of us know what Travis Kelce is thinking, right? And I said to somebody yesterday, I said, you know, he's still, 200 yards roughly, 204 yards behind Jerry Rice. And 2 touchdowns behind, or no, is it 2 touchdowns? 1 touchdown behind Jerry Rice now for the all-time lead in postseason history in receiving. And I'm like, I look at it like, I guess I look at things weird. I would regret it for the rest of my life if I was Travis Kelce and finished like 50 yards short of Jerry Rice for the all-time lead. I think that's something, in my opinion anyway, that may drive him to come back one more year. Like, if he doesn't get 210 yards in the Super Bowl and a touchdown, then he comes back next year and tries to beat Jerry Rice's record again, you know, in the postseason. So, and I told this person I was talking to yesterday, I'm like, ask me in 5 minutes. I'll probably have a different answer for you when it comes to Travis Kelce, because I don't think any of us truly know what he's going to do. And then the other side is, boy, if you win 3 in a row, you're with Taylor Swift, you got all the life after football, you don't have to get beat up anymore. I'm sure your brother has told you many times over the course of the year how great he feels, you know, not going out there and playing every single day. There's that side of it as well. And so, you know, I would say if you came to me or somebody came to me and laid the case out that Travis was retiring or Travis was staying, I would believe both of those 100%, because I just don't think anybody other than him, maybe, and maybe he doesn't even know, you know, what he's going to do and what he's going to decide. He's got one more year on the contract. He may want to come back for one more year to let everybody know, hey, this is going to be it. You know,
like, I always kind of play the Andy Reid situation with Travis Kelce more and more throughout the season. Like, you heard the Taylor Swift quote, like, she's like, he loves doing it. I enjoy watching him play. He's having fun doing it. So I support whatever he wants to do. That's just an awesome partner in life to have that sort of opinion. But also, someone, I don't know if they're trolling me or not, or if they have the same opinion. I said it a couple weeks ago that if they were to win a Super Bowl, I think you propose to Taylor Swift on the field and then retire.
Of people believe that's going to happen.
Which that's not, I don't know if that was an original take, but I just had an idea because it's just the Hollywood ending. But again, like, you look at yourself and you think, well, they're probably gonna be in the playoffs again next year because of who they have at quarterback. So I'm like, why not ride it out? You know, why until I literally physically cannot do it? And he has told us before multiple times, I'm out here until the wheels fall off, baby.
Right.
So I mean, it's, you know, it's his decision whether he makes it or not. Like you said, one more year in the contract. So maybe he's, you know, a trooper. He's like, you know what? I'm here until my contract, and that's when we'll do it. If the contract says it's over, then I'll tell you it's over. I also don't know if he's a swan song type of guy where he's like, this is it. This is going to be my last year, because I think that will make a distraction throughout the year. Like, hey, this is your last time in.
That's true. There is that. Yeah. And this team is all about eliminating the distractions, right? They're all about getting rid of all of that nonsense. They don't want that. That's why Tyreek Hill isn't here anymore. And that's why, you know, Marcus Peters isn't here anymore. And, you know, you can see guys that, you know, are all about me and not about us. They don't belong and fit here in this Kansas City Chiefs operation right now, because it's all about us, not about me. Mm-hmm. But that Travis is obviously in a different category. If he wanted to do a swan song, I think everybody would be happy to allow that to happen. But yeah, I've heard a lot of people with the Hollywood ending, they win and he proposes the Taylor Swift on the field. I mean, God.
Mac, you have a hot take that you missed out on this year?
Mine was, I didn't think we needed Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah. Ouch. Yeah.
Mine was, I thought Kingsley would be useful or good, you know.
Suamataia?
Yep, I thought Suamataia would actually showed athleticism and yeah, not good. Not great.
Before we get to Nate Taylor, every single day next week at 7:45, we're doing the Hy-Vee giveaway, right? We're going to play a highlight, and you have to guess the year when that highlight happens. If you're the correct caller, you will qualify to win a $500 Hy-Vee gift card at the end of next week. So there'll be five qualifiers, one each day at 7:45. So be listening next week, all day, obviously. But at 7:45, if you want a chance to win that $500 Hy-Vee gift card.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break the news that Chris Jones is back with the Chiefs.
I'll get on that, coach.
Yeah, all right.
Here's Nate Taylor from The Athletic.
This always makes you want to play Tony Hawk Pro Skater. I don't know why. Maybe I do know why. I'll tell you a little bit later. But we are here with Nate Taylor now, presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Nate Taylor, how you feeling, buddy? Matt gave us some upsetting news. Are you doing okay?
Yeah, I'm all right. It's not great when you go through, some level of sickness. But I'm here, man. I'm doing all right.
Okay. Good thing you got it this week and not next week.
Do you
right?
know what it was that gave you the FP?
No.
Because usually you know immediately what it is. You're like, I will never eat that again. Yeah. Right?
No, it involves cheese.
Of course it does. Because I got it from pizza years ago. It was awful, man. It was awful.
Yeah. What are you going to do? So, just stay hydrated and, we move forward, but I still plan on eating everything under the sun in New Orleans next week.
Yeah, you'll be fine later on.
Yeah, right now you're just eating chicken noodle soup, saltine crackers, Sprite, and Gatorade.
I did have soup.
Told you. Yeah, it's recipe for life. Our mothers did as well. But let's talk about New Orleans, Nate. Philadelphia, Kansas City, the rematch. What say you about this time around as opposed to last time around?
The biggest difference is Saquon Barkley, it's been a joy just to watch him this season on like a competent football team who has a good offensive line, an actual quarterback who's a threat. And I think the other thing too that you have to remember that's different is now because we're going to hear again about a really good defense and their defensive line and their pass rush. It still boggles my mind that the Chiefs have reached the Super Bowl with Joe Tooney at left tackle. So there'll be a lot of matchups we could talk about, but those are the two biggest differences is that, you know, I never, no one could have ever thought, I know listening to you guys earlier, no one could have thought that Joe Tooney at left tackle was going to be the pendulum swing between going back to the Super Bowl or not. Everything else is somewhat similar to 2 years ago, but it's actually good that both of these teams have that experience because it should better inform them on how to perform, two Sundays from now.
Yeah, and I think the Joe Tooney thing is probably, it gets talked about, but my goodness, I mean, I don't know that we've seen a player switch positions and everything seamlessly. Like, you, if you were watching the Chiefs for the first time, you never would have known that Joe Tooney was a guard 5 days ago,
Right, exactly. And the thing that you just have to remember is, like, I've tried to talk to a number of people and just ask them, like, hey, like, is there something similar? Do we have, like, a case study of this? And the answer in the modern era is kind of no. You know, you don't really put guards at tackle. Mm-hmm. Or it is something where, like, you understand immediately how disastrous it is just because this person is playing out of position. You know, the greatest example is the Super Bowl in 2020, when the Chiefs, you know, had to reconfigure their entire offensive line because they just had injuries after injuries after injuries. So this is not the same thing. But look, man, they put Mike Remmers out at left tackle, and he's a right tackle, and it didn't go well, right? Like, he still played the tackle position. It just didn't go well because he didn't get a stretch in December to get smoothed into this. But I mean, he had the highest grade, like, on PFF, which again is just, like, mind-boggling that Joe Tooney, out of position, was still one of the better pass protectors in all of football last week.
In this game 2 years ago, Nick Bolton was a key factor. You got to think somewhat of that is going to be the same in this game because of what is Saquon Barkley and what is Dallas Goedert, two big targets in the middle of that field. Nick Bolton, contract year, big time to shine. Should be a good game, should be a big impact from him as well, I would think. What would you think about that?
Yeah, there's going to be moments where Nick Bolton gives up plays, and that's just about everybody who plays in the middle of the field in the NFL. You know, for people who are wondering, like, if you can attack the middle of the field consistently, that helps your offense easy because it's easier for the quarterback to sort of, you know, see what's going on in the field and obviously get the ball instead of having to throw it towards the boundary. The best part is that, you know, Nick Bolton gave up, I think, a couple receptions in the first half against the Bills and then really played very well from about the second half on. He's most known last week for the stop of Josh Allen, which, again, I don't know how he did it with Mike Pinnell and Chris Jones on the defensive line, but he's the one that stonewalls Josh Allen on that fourth and inches play to, you know, change the entire momentum of the game. And then there was one play, I think, I'd have to remember, but, like, there's one play where he actually plays pretty well in coverage. So, yes, you're going to need Nick Bolton. You're going to need Drew Tranquil. You're going to need your best tackling defenders. And that includes, you know, Justin Reed. I know he didn't have his best effort on the fourth and goal play where James Cook did, honestly, some wizard-type athleticism to get in the end zone. But you're going to need Bolton, Drew Tranquil, Justin Reed, in my opinion, to make Saquon earn every bit of yards to where he can't have a breakaway run. That has been really the key difference for Philly's offense is they're pretty good. It's just, hey, man, when that guy gets out there, he's a home run hitter. And the Chiefs really haven't played anybody quite like that. I know for all of the success last year, Christian McCaffrey was excellent, but he didn't necessarily have the home run breakaway speed that Saquon has demonstrated this season. That's probably the difference between him and Derrick Henry, him and, you know, McCaffrey, him and whoever they've seen so far throughout their title run, throughout their dynasty. So you better tackle him because once he gets past the second level, he's usually running away from the safeties and the cornerbacks.
You're mentioning the defense, and that brings up Charles Omenihu and the difference that he's made for this team, both as a player and as a guy who's made George Karloftis better. How does he impact this one?
Yeah. He's actually gotten a lot better in run defense, which is kind of like stunning. You know, he's really not on the team to be, you know, being someone who sets the edge and really plays sound defense, but he's done that. He did that last week against the Buffalo Bills. Now he'll get a chance to actually play in the Super Bowl, you know, following, you know, his ACL injury that he had just a little bit over a year ago. You know, he's getting enough pressure to where now someone's getting home. And again, it's hard to bring down Josh Allen, but Mike Dana has a strip sack. George Karloftis has had an amazing playoff run. He's the one who generates, obviously, the pressure on that fourth and five of Trent McDuffie. I just get the sense that the Chiefs defense has really been at its absolute best form once George Karloftis got to a place where he could get more one-on-ones, because you have Charles Omenihu. And so if you're going to stop Saquon Barkley, if you're going to try to contain, Jalen Hurts the same way you tried to do Josh Allen, you need as many quality pass rushers. And even though the Chiefs are now back-to-back champions, they've never had this good of pass rushing defensive linemen in the entire run. I know that sounds strange for maybe some people, but when Mike Dana is just having strip sacks because he's your fourth best defensive lineman, they didn't have that 2 years ago, and they didn't have that last year. And so Charles being healthy for this game gives the Chiefs the best chance to try to, you know, disrupt and mitigate some of the rushing attack that the Eagles will present in New Orleans.
Nate, I don't know if we're talking to Nate Taylor, the Athletic, here on Fesco and Dusty. Do you think we'll have a discussion in the next coming days about left tackle again, or can we nip that in the bud and it's Tooney? We don't need to have DJ Humphrey's name involved anymore.
It's a great question, Dusty, because I think like you could really have that conversation if you wanted. Now, it'd be wild for you to make the change on Super Bowl Sunday, but hey, DJ Humphrey will get 2 weeks. He will get more time practicing, of course. He is technically a better left tackle on the average day than Joe Tooney. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a bold gamble for them to stick with Joe Tooney. As I've said before, and I've said to you guys, I think this is somewhat an evolution of Andy Reid, who is more, hey, old school, like loyal to the veteran guys. Hey, we brought him in for a reason. I think the rest of the staff and maybe even Patrick Mahomes got to him and just said, let's just stick with what's worked, even though that's not the original plan. So I don't think it's going to change. But it is at least a discussion to have next week where you're like, hey, he's further away from the hamstring injury at any point during this entire time DJ Humphrey's been with the team. But also, man, Patrick's playing so well right now, and that's because he's not getting immediate pressure from the blind side, which is what we saw obviously earlier this year. And as I said this before, like, it doesn't prevent you from re-signing DJ Humphries for next season in the event that, like, you probably still need a gapped, like, starting player, veteran player, especially if you want to see Kingsley Suamataia at guard, or if you want to not feel like you're pressured to drafting another left tackle in the draft in April. So it's not like this is the last game that DJ Humphrey could ever be in a Chiefs uniform. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad you brought it up, because it's like, coach, is he fully healthy? But also, man, it's hard to ask somebody to do this when the last like significant game they played with Patrick Mahomes was like early December. It's mid-February. But I don't think they're going to change it, but they should have some conversation if DJ shows more and more, you know, just overall improvement, better understanding of the playbook, timing, all that stuff in practice, because that's the benefit of the Super Bowl. You get 2 weeks to sort of reinvent your team for that last final game.
Or you just don't, you know, reinvent what's working at this point in time, which is also Kareem Hunt. And that was my worst Chiefs take of the year. Like, I don't think we really need Kareem Hunt. What a difference maker he's been. And, man, I've loved watching him run in the playoffs.
He's been honestly like the darling of the season, guys. I couldn't have anticipated that it was going to go this well. The Chiefs could not have anticipated it going this well. But when you see a player who knows, I got one more good run in me, and I'm trying to redeem myself, and I'm trying to do good on a second chance, you get this level of performance that is truly awe-striking. The Chiefs realized that Kareem was healthy enough, motivated enough, and had grown enough for this particular opportunity. And then he just became the best running back of the season with no training camp, no preseason. As Andy has talked before, they literally signed him off the couch, guys. He was working out at, you know, the high school he used to, you know, he was starring in the Cleveland area. And now he's made good from a football standpoint as much as he possibly can. He runs so hard, so determined, because he's squeezing every last bit of greatness he has in him. And it just so happens that he gets to do it with Patrick Mahomes, who he came into the NFL with. It's with Andy Reid, the coach who's known for redemptions, who's known for second, hell, maybe even third chances. And, you know, because of the injury, Pacheco has not truly found his rhythm yet. I think Pacheco played pretty well last week against the Buffalo Bills in limited opportunities. But as of right now, Kareem Hunt's the better running back. And so he gets a chance to play in the Super Bowl when that was, I assure you, he just thought that that was going to be a given in 2018. Man, I'm on one of the greatest offenses ever. This Patrick Mahomes dude is incredible. I led the league in rushing as a rookie. Like, we're going to go to the Super Bowl. And then, of course, we all know what happens. And it's been a long trial. It's been a long journey for him. But I have not seen someone recently be this good when the majority of the league was like, maybe he has another year in him, maybe two. But, like, it's not going to be, like, high level. It's not going to be, like, super-duper productive. He'll just be another guy. He's been more than another guy. He's been, honestly, a massive influence and an inspiration to a lot of those guys in the locker room, because even he acknowledges all the mistakes he made before he got a chance to really redeem himself and make himself whole again as a football player, let alone as a human being. It's been one of the bigger stories of the season that no one saw coming.
Last one real quick, Nate. What's one thing I have to get in New Orleans food-wise?
Gator.
Okay.
Gator. Just get more gator. Everybody knows about shrimp po' boys. Everybody knows about beignets. It's excellent. I love red snapper. It's incredible. Gumbo, of course. Get you some alligator.
I'm going to come back looking like Carson Steele.
Alligator is really good. It does, I hate to say this, Nate, but it does kind of taste like chicken. It's, you know, you eat it, you're like, yeah. All right, I can definitely see that, you know?
Yeah. Now, you get a little weird once you get to rabbit.
Okay. I don't mind rabbit. I had rabbit one time.
Yeah, I was like, I'm good. I don't think I'll ever need rabbit again. But gator, love gator.
Yeah, gator is great. Gator soup is really good, too. I wish we had more time. I'd take you guys on take you to Houma, Louisiana, introduce you to a guy named Ron Guidry, not the pitcher, but guy gives gator tours in the bayou of Houma, Louisiana. Maybe we just skip out on the show one day and go take a boat ride and see the gators.
Yes. Probably do the sounds show. Incredible.
All right, Nate, we'll take care. Get to feeling better. We'll see you in New Orleans.
Thank you, fellas. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Nate Taylor there joining us on Fesco and Dusty, brought to you and presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Three-peats, they're fun, but we can do other three-peats that have happened in the history of entertainment like sports is here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
From the text line, how do we not know that chicken doesn't taste like everything else? Why doesn't that, you know, why doesn't chicken taste like gator? Why doesn't chicken taste
because
like...
there's so many other different things that go back to the chicken.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like, oh, well, you know, steak or, you know, everything was related back to the chicken. If everything tasted like an alligator, we relate it all back to the gator. But I also think chicken is probably something... Do you know anybody who's never had chicken? I mean, I know there's some vegans walking around and whatnot, but I'm sure at one point in your life you had some chicken before you decided you weren't going to wear leather shoes. So
where's all the chicken?
Yeah.
That little kid.
Yeah, it's chicken, of course. Like the Chick-fil-A sandwich. Yeah. It's chicken. Yeah, it's good. It's chicken. Yeah. Like, do you know anybody that's never had chicken? And if you have never had chicken, let me know. I got to know if you've never had chicken. So I think it's something that everybody can relate to as well. Mm-hmm. You don't sit there and say it tastes like a rack of lamb with mint jelly. Be like, what?
That's good.
I know that's what I thought about. But.
Yeah. From the 816 Dusty, go to the House of Seafood in Covington, Louisiana. It's not that far from New Orleans. It's all you can eat bar.
Yeah, I think we'll be all right. We're not leaving this. We got a man in a suit in here today.
It's a lawyer.
Oh, boy. Are we in trouble?
Yeah, we shouldn't have said reply all.
I know. He's here now.
Dusty, I can make you one promise. He will not come back looking like Carson Steele. No offense. No, I know. Just all the gator. I think it's a gator. Is it a gator?
Yeah, crocodile. Yeah. Either way, six of one, half a dozen the other. Hen, chicken. What's the difference? Who's having sex with the hen?
Yeah. Who's having sex with Jerry Jones? Somebody. Three-peats are Not likely. In fact, it never happened in the NFL. But I was thinking about what we could do with other things that have happened in threes outside of sports. To be fair, Jim Carrey had one hell of a three-peat.
Okay.
Ace Ventura, The Mask, and Dumb and Dumber. Bing, bing, bing. Solid three-peat.
Yeah.
Can't argue with that.
Hard to argue that.
You've seen every movie that he's done, those three? Yeah. Seen The Mask?
Oh, yeah.
Shout out Cameron Diaz in that film.
Yep.
Holy smokes. I thought Will Smith was deserving on this category. Bad Boys, Independence Day, Men in Black.
That's good.
I mean, that's young Will.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he had done The Fresh Prince before that, but then it was Bad Boys, Independence Day, Men in Black. Like, the fact that those movies came out in those three separate years. Like, I always thought Independence Day was first. Bad Boys was first. I think it was like 94.
Oh, my God.
I think so. I could be wrong. But like 94, 95.
Oh, my God.
Directors that get one. The Farrelly Brothers.
That's good.
By the way, I didn't know they wrote the Virgin episode in Seinfeld. That's another one of those things.
They did?
They wrote that
episode. I did not know that.
Makes sense now. Like, yeah, they wrote that episode.
Huh.
Yeah, that's when I found out that Garth Brooks' real name was Troil.
Oh, I got one that may blow your mind here in a second with that real name stuff.
Yeah. But the Farrelly Brothers did Dumb and Dumber, Kingpin, Something About Mary. I have a soft spot in my heart for all those movies. I mean, they've done great movies throughout their time. But the fact they did Dumb and Dumber, Kingpin, Something About Mary, that gives you the clout that you're good. Just whatever you do from here on out.
Yeah.
You can. When it comes to music, I know that this guy's kind of is a bag, but Kanye West, I know you probably are unfamiliar with the albums, but he did College Dropout, Late Registration, Graduation. Mm-hmm. Like, so many of the songs that you hear, like Through the Wire, all these songs that he did, those all came on those three albums. Like, the first three albums of Kanye West's run was great. Once his mom passed away, he became this whatever he is, talks right on TV with a cloak over his face. Not a great guy, but he did have a great three-year run, him and Lil Wayne as well. I threw him in there because of Louisiana. That's where he's from. He's probably a guy you'll see on the TV, one of those celebrities not mentioned. But Carter 1 through Carter 3, I mean, it was every year when I was in college and high school. When it was getting ready to come out, that was when I think really like music was like, hey, midnight, this drops on Apple or on iTunes, whatever it was, Apple Music, and you listen to the whole thing over and over and over again. But yeah, those are some three-peats that have happened in the entertainment industry. Obviously, the Indiana Jones. I don't know if Temple of Doom is considered a hit. It changed the way movies are rated. I know that.
Yeah.
But I mean, Raiders, Temple of Doom, Last Crusade, fantastic.
That's a great trilogy. It really is.
1, 2, and 3. Yeah. I think Back to the Future 3 is kind of a miss.
It's a miss.
But 1 and it's 2 are great.
Like with Major League, 1 is great. 2 and Naked Gun is good. 33 and a third is okay.
But it's not hit.
No, it's like, not.
Bad Boys, Independence Day, Men in Black, hits.
Yeah.
Ace Ventura, The Mask, Dumb and Dumber, hit.
Right. So I looked at it from kind of the similar perspective as you, and one of my, I use the term influences, one of the people that I admire a lot is Will Ferrell, right? And not so much now as he was back in the early 2000s, like when he was Saturday Night Live and at the beginning, make me laugh all the time. Did you know his real name was John?
No.
John William Ferrell. And you thought Troil was a big day today, right? We got two guys we didn't know who they were.
Troil Garth Brooks.
Yes. John William Ferrell. So Will Ferrell, an old school Elf anchorman. That's a pretty good three right there. I mean, and then it's kind of gotten. You know,
what was the first one?
Old school Elf and anchorman.
Yeah, that's tough because he wasn't like the featured actor in old school, but nobody really was.
Nobody really was, other
than like Luke Wilson.
But he was more like Seinfeld, where he may have been the featured guy, but all the ancillary characters play a major role.
More of that movie of what Will Ferrell does than anybody else.
Absolutely.
Like, Vince Vaughn's hilarious in that movie, but you remember the, well, say anything about this, I'll kill you. I'm kidding. We'll have him on eight.
Yeah, right.
And then very end, when he's in the grocery store.
Right.
Hey, Frank.
Yeah.
Heard you and Melissa split.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's go streaking.
Yeah.
You know, so like Mac. So I got Will Ferrell. Another one that I'm going to throw out there is going to be so bizarre. I'm throwing out the University of Kansas. Larry Brown, Roy Williams, Bill Self.
Find me
a better, you know, three in a row of a coach in any organization.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you can put the Steelers on that list.
Immediately debunked.
Yeah. Chuck Knoll, yeah, and
Bill Cowher, and Mike Tomlin. And that's three of the four coaches that have ever coached there.
Yeah, I mean, that is good. That is good. All right, name another.
Yeah.
Stop.
Because usually you don't hit. I mean, Larry Brown, Roy Williams, Bill Self. I mean, my goodness, that's a hell of a run right there for KU. And then finally on this one, and I didn't know which order in which to go because there's so many different variations of a three-peat. And I don't know if even you're familiar with this, guys, but there was a television producer back then named Norman Lear. You've heard of Norman Lear. And he created some of the greatest TV shows of all time. All in the Family, Jeffersons, Maude, Good Times, Facts of Life, Silver Spoon. Like, all of those shows from back in the day were all Norman Lear. And they were all very, very socially advanced for the times. And were doing things on TV that nobody would do at that point in time. So I'm going to go with Norman Lear with Maude, All in the Family, and Good Times, because they came kind of in that order.
And then there's Maude.
That's right. And then the Jeffersons on top of that. And then Silver Spoons, and then Facts of Life. I mean, his rundown of things that he created one day at a time, I mean, it's unbelievable how many top-notch TV shows Norman Lear created and how he changed TV.
Somebody mentions Michael Jackson's three-peat of albums, Off the Wall, Thriller, and Bad.
Yeah.
I mean, Thriller is still one of the best albums of all time, song to song. Like, there's probably zero skips on that. Man, I'm trying to think about Fleetwood Mac. I know there's rumors, but I don't really know, like, the albums in order. I know them, but I don't know them in order. Lethal Weapons, 1, 2, and 3, pretty solid three-peat.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
I think 2 is better than 1. It's dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. Just go with Harrison Ford, multi-three-peats. I mean,
Star Wars.
He had a 5-year Empire Strikes Back, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Blade Runner, Return of the Jedi, Temple of Doom. And then you can do a 6th and say,
what about Last Rocky 2, 3, and 4?
Or 1, 2, and 3?
Or 1, 2, 3. I love, like, Rocky 4 hits because of the time period of which it was created. So Rocky 5 stuff, that's a good 4-peat right there.
Yeah. Somebody says John Hughes movies, Breakfast Club, Ferris Bueller, Uncle Buck. Solid run.
Really good right there. That's amazing. Yeah.
One that you may not agree with. Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, both three-peats that are good. They are good.
Not my speed, but I'm open.
Steven Inspector has started to type into the show. He says, Nick Cage, The Rock, Con Air, Face Off, back to back to back, 95, 96, 97. Nick Cage also bought a dinosaur skull and a house next to a cemetery that he can't sell.
I wanted to take you guys to the cemetery tour and see Nick Cage's tomb.
Mm-hmm. I'm good, man. I don't do ghost tours. I don't do anything like that.
It's in the middle of the day. You walk around the cemetery.
Somebody says, I'm sure Hugh Hefner had a few three-peats in his day. Well played.
I was trying to think of things like that. Like, Tom Brady had Bridget Moynihan. Then he had Giselle. But there wasn't... Was there a third with Brady?
Kim Kardashian? That was a rumor.
Yeah.
After Giselle.
Yeah, that is true. So,
who knows?
What about Jeter? Like, he's got a...
Mariah Carey. I don't know anybody else after that. Yeah.
But the girl he's married to?
I don't know who that is. Couldn't tell you. Somebody says Denzel might have 2 separate three-peats. That's also true. That's also true. Coming up on the other side, we go into what we talked about a little bit earlier, if you missed it. We'll get into the lead of why, I believe, well... I think that there's a reason why people say they won't watch the Super Bowl, and I think there's plenty of reasons why you could say they're a liar. Plus, we'll have Goldilocks here in about 30 minutes.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, it's Mark Schler of the Sink of Truth podcast. The NFL playoffs are here, and I'll be breaking down every matchup as we get toward the big game. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I on the Sink of Truth podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Minutes on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.